Happy Friday. I am, I would say from an undisclosed location, but it's the opposite of that because you all know exactly where I'm at. I drove up from Seattle yesterday to surprise Irene for her birthday, because it's lovely to be with people that we care about, and it's nice to be in person. And I was like, I can just do the call from the headquarters. I can take her seat. So I'm sitting in the seat. It's this beautiful space. It feels really nice to be here. So that's where I'm at. Thank you, Susan, for being here. Thank you, Mara, for being here. The whole Team Lion, all the work that happens as a team behind the scenes is really. It's beautiful to be part of that and to feel supported on this end. And it's a reminder that nothing we're doing, we can do alone. So I want to thank the team for making this call possible and for being here to support it. And thank all of you for showing up, taking the time out of your day and of your rhythm, to be here and together. My name's Elia. Some of you know me. I know some of you. Some of you don't know me. I don't know some of you, but today is an opportunity to get to know each other a little bit more, and to have a conversation. That's how I'm approaching this opportunity is to get a chance to dig a little deeper into the movement sessions that are part of SBSM and help answer questions. Or if you have experiences and you want to share that and something that we can discuss. If you have an experience, it's likely that someone else might have something similar, or if your question can be illuminated, it can also help someone else. So that's the approach, that's the intent. I love this work. I love sharing my work in the context of SBSM. As the education course that it is, I love offering this doorway and this addition to the journey that is SBSM. Specifically, my work comes from a combination of Qigong, which is breath work and energy work through a Chinese medicine lens, movement, dance, and how that supports our education and capacity building for the benefit of our nervous system. So that's the intention behind the movement videos, the movement sessions, is a way into our body through another doorway. And on that note, just before we continue talking, just give yourself a little gentle wiggle or a little squirm. Just something to help slightly move anything that wants to move. Also, a reminder that this work can contain some goofiness and some silliness. And even though we're doing really serious stuff, we can also find some lightness, some giggles, even if it's the giggles of our cells and our spine and our vertebrae. And if you haven't let out a nice sigh today, here's an invitation. Let out a nice sigh, a nice exhale. And again. One more time. And if you've been looking at a screen, here's an opportunity, an invitation to just look around. Let's see a little above your screen, see a little below the screen. I'm in a new room, so I'm orienting in real time. It's funny. I've been over here a lot. I've never hung out in this room, so this is new for me. It's very cool. And allowing your eyes and that orienting to invite a gentle rotation in your spine and in your sternum, If you see something on the ceiling, let that open. Ah, the collarbones and the heart. If you see something on the floor, let that little bow open. The backs of our lungs, the back of our heart. If we can see something far away, see something really far away. And some detail very close. Could be a little speck of dust. Could be something we didn't notice before. And then we can come back to each other. That's a reminder today and all the time. Those little practices are available all the time. Just a way to reconnect to our surroundings, reconnect to our breath. Sigh out, breathe out. Okay. We're here. Let's continue. Questions. Experiences. You could even just share what it's been like to do the sessions, what you're, if you don't have a specific question, just sharing your experience can be helpful for you and for others. I also love silence, so we can just hang out in that. But another way to think about it or feel into it is, what are ways in which you are incorporating these practices? What are the ways in which you connect the movement sessions into the other work in SBSM? Your own integration of the work. How's that showing up for you? Nancy.
I don't feel particularly brave to ask this question, but I'm having trouble with all of that
Yes. Okay.
integration stuff, and I haven't even found the location or
Oh, hold on
got
one second.
them.
Can other people hear her? Yes.
But not
We've
you.
encountered our first. One second, Nancy. Let me. Why can I not hear? Okay. Can you say something now?
Hello, can you hear me?
Perfect. I had to orient to a new keyboard. We got it. Now I got you.
Aaliyah, do I say it right?
Elia.
Aaliyah, yeah, I feel like I've maybe met you before. So I have not watched the videos. I'm having all kinds of issues, even though I've, and I'm a alumni many times who continues to have barriers with some of these exercises while being alone and movement. I have this tendency to, when I experience pain, stop moving. My body gets quite rigid, and then I need body work to get me through that frozen state. So any encouragement about getting over this and deepening into this integration, which is a very elusive word for me and my body?
Yes, thank you for sharing that. If we work from the end of your question towards the beginning, I agree, integration can be elusive, that's a nice word, or even sometimes conceptual or abstract. Which is one reason that when we just take a breath, it's a way into the experience of integration. It's the way to literally take in and expel out the space around us. So we are, there's an integration of ourselves and the space when we take a breath. It doesn't have to be a big breath, doesn't have to be an important breath, just awareness of the breath. So that's one thing. A way to approach integration from a very concrete and bite-sized way. So just recognizing the way that the breath is moving in and out of ourselves. It's a way to support integration within ourselves, but also in relation to the space around us. And all the and the movement that naturally happens when we breathe inside, not just this diaphragm, but all of the diaphragms, there's internal movement, there's internal dialogue, relationships being built. That to me is another way to approach what integration is. It's about building relationships within ourselves. So another version of that, and this addresses the first part of your question in terms of, you said when I do movement, sometimes I feel pain and then I get rigid and I feel like I want body work and I need to. So breaking it down and bringing it back to its small, simple components is if you take your hand or even a finger, and you just allow that hand to move a little bit. You can even allow the space to move you. So it's less about Nancy doing something and an allowance, a permission of that space to move you. The relationship that we're building as we're moving the hand is that the tip of the fingers and the elbow are containing the hand. Meaning there's a relationship between the wrist and the fingers and the elbow that we're starting to build as we do this little movement. And that relationship, like my wrist is between my fingers and my elbow, that relationship could be called integration. So I'm integrating this system of my forearm by not thinking about it as an isolated thing, but in relationship to the component parts. That's all to say. In all the videos, you could take one part of it. You could take the breathing, you could take the teacups, and just bring it down to its simple version for you and get lost in that. Like, you don't have to follow the video as it is. Any one part can be its own little exploration. So, let me pause there. Does that resonate?
I want to tell you what's so profound about that. Breaking down this relationship for integration. What rose to the surface was, oh, all my trauma is relational. So that might be an opening. Thank you.
You're welcome. And your healing can be too. So it's in
I'm gonna cry for a while.
cool. Thank you, Nancy. Thank you for sharing that. Okay, I see hands. I Nila.
Can you hear me?
Perfectly.
Okay, cool. Good evening from France, and thank you for doing this. Ilya, your voice is so calming. It's like I'm going to struggle not to like go into some sort of like nap, but it's so nice. But I relate to some of what Nancy was saying. Like I had a diagnosis of like chronic pain when I was a kid, and it was like at the time it was like you got to wear this brace, and then it was like you just got to take bed rest, and then it was like pretty much I remember just having this feeling like I'm just gonna lie down and die, and I was like great. And for a long time I was having lots of like manipulation and stuff, and I'm starting to realize like 20 years later that like in my body just needs such small gentle things like the manipulation. Even I'm seeing a, like people talk about, you know, the vagus nerve and stimulate it and do this and do that. It's like just the most gentle things have been so helpful. And I love the sense of fun. Like have quite a lot of issues with like attention, and so my go-to like reaction to some of it is just like, oh, boring, like I can't concentrate. And like one of the things that stuck with me was like the cafe press. Maybe also in France I'm doing that on a daily basis, but I was like, so I think of it, you know, when I'm making my coffee as well in the morning. But it's like, yeah, and it's kind of allowed me to have like fun with the work, and just, yeah, I guess like fun can feel in opposition to work, but it kind of isn't also at the same time. So like I found that really helpful. And I think what's been interesting is in some of the movement sessions that I followed of yours, you'll be saying like, and maybe you want to do this, and I'm already doing it. And it's kind of interesting because even dance, when I was growing up, I was doing ballet, and it was just so, it just got to being so rigid and so like prescriptive that I kind of, it just, I stopped doing it because I felt tension not getting it right and all of that kind of thing. So it's like to just have this like freedom arise in these like gentle movements feels really, yeah, it just feels really liberating and really expansive. And it gives me hope because, yeah, any kind of chronic thing, it's like you just get to waking up just being like, well, this is going to be the way it is today, kind of thing. So I just feel very, it feels like an exhale, you know, it feels like a breath of fresh air. So really, really, really thankful.
You're very welcome. Thank you for articulating all of that. There's a lot of juicy things in what you shared. So I want to catch a few of them and open them up. One of them is you said hope, and I think if we look at that word from a movement perspective, or from like a material perspective of tissue and the body, is to me hope has a little space to it where light can come in. There's literal a soft expansion. And that in all the movement stuff is what we're working on, is how can we find a little bit of space between the tissues, between the soft tissue and the muscle, between the tendon, the muscle, and the bone, between the breath. When we have trauma, when we have stored survival stress, that space is compacted. And that turns into pain, that turns into inflammation, that turns into blocked energy, that turns into not a flow or not a sense of ease. And so when we can find a little bit of space, it's like if you put your first finger and thumb together, if you push it together, there's no light can't get in there. But if you can soften that tone a little bit, this is a little bit back to the bell hand, and if some of you have done that exercise, if we can find a softness in that tone and then even a little bit of space between the thumb and the index finger, there's light passing through. There's light passing through. And that to me is another way of experiencing hope. It's like, ah, there's possibility there, and possibility can invite change. So that word to me in a physical sense is how do we work with that? Not just, again, bringing the energy from the idea of stuff, the concept of stuff, into the felt experience of this. And use the word fun. And I think that's, it's such a small word in English. But it means a lot because inside that word is presence. Inside that word is relationship to the moment, to the space, to the context, to the environment. Inside that word is curiosity. Inside that word, so it's a small word, but there's a lot in there. There's play that often sits inside of that word. And maybe a lot of us didn't have a chance to experience play and fun and curiosity in a safe way. So these sessions are a way to either re-experience that or experience that for the first time in a new way. Which is why I really believe in the power of the silliness and the goofiness, because there's a tone that shifts when we allow ourselves to be like that. That tonal shift takes us from a certain rigidity to a place of ease, at least a little more ease. And that the French press, as an example, is like if anyone uses a like actually a French press, there's attunement to that mechanical thing. If you don't push hard enough, you won't have coffee. And if you smash it, well, you also won't have coffee. So it's like the balance between what's the tone, what's the right amount of pressure, the attunement to that object, which is also why we can do this work with inanimate objects. Now we don't. These things have vibration, they have life to them. But in that particular practice, it's connecting the breath and the movement together. That's a mantra of mine and a mantra of Qigong and a lot of somatic and ancient practices, but specifically with a tone to the movement. That tone is neither, it's not collapsed and it's not rigid, it's somewhere in the middle. So if you don't know what I'm talking about, you're in for a treat. You'll find it in the movement sessions, but it's a way to take in the inhale and exhale, allowing what comes up to come up. And then inviting what comes up to also come down. And doing it connected to our breath and doing it in a way that creates a tone in the body. And if that tone is in the fingers, that tone can be in the wrist, that tone can be in the elbows, that tone can be in the feet. Can turn the local tone into a global tone. I know you didn't ask a question either, but I hope I addressed
Oh,
what you're
yeah, and
offering and sharing is.
it's as good as coffee, if not better. So yeah, thanks.
Cheers. Lisa, nice to see you. Hello.
Hello, Ilya, and everyone on here. Ilya, first of all, just thank you for your you-ness. I appreciate practicing all the things I've had an opportunity to practice with you online and in person. Just the invitational pieces, just the authenticity and playfulness. It very much feels relatable to me personally and as a movement professional. And here's my question.
Yes.
So I've experienced something recently with very subtle movement. It would be similar to just standing and letting my arms move, where there's a sense of chill that comes up. And I don't know that I've ever noticed that before. Typically, I feel warmth. So the chill feels very interesting to me. And at times, if I tune into it, I feel almost a back arching sensation. And I just wanted to, I would appreciate, I guess, is a better way of saying, time to explore if this is freeze showing up in the practice or freeze lifting. And maybe I just haven't spent enough time with it, but it's kind of new. And I thought, oh, perfect timing that you have this Q&A today to ask that.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that question. I think your intuition I agree with your intuition. I mean, I agree with your intuition anyway, but specifically in relation to the first place I went is kidneys. You mentioned the back arching, the chill, the freeze, whether it's lifting or settling in. That like That movement always, to me, goes to the lumbar and goes to the kidneys. It's, you also mentioned, you said it, sometimes it's in a like a rotational aspect to it. So if we zoom out for a second and just talk about temperature and thermoregulation, which is the regulation of our temperature, and realize how fundamental that is to our survival. It's sometimes we take it for granted because we have heat and air conditioning, and but the ability to regulate our own temperature is, it's like the ability to take in food and turn that food into nutrients and minerals. Because if we can't, we don't survive. We cannot turn food into us. That is the act of eating. It's turning what's not us into us. If we can't do that, we literally can't survive. The same is true with our temperature. And we exist in a very narrow range, like that, in terms of the temperature of our own body. If we go a couple degrees low, we're freezing. If we go a couple degrees high, we have a fever and we're sweating. So I just want to frame it as the regulation also applies to our temperature. And our temperature is deeply connected to our fluid system. So I'm going to bring in some stuff from Chinese medicine, from Taoist and Qigong practices. So it folds into this, but it's a little outside the scope of the movement lessons. But you asked, Lisa, so I think it's really important. So how we move, it's like we're a hydraulic system, how we move water throughout our body. That's a big practice to being alive. How we move water and blood to our extremities. Sometimes people might get cold hands, cold feet. That's because something in that system, that fluid system, is not reaching all the veins and the arteries, that the energy, the chi, the warmth is not arriving there. Or we're too hot in some place, which means we're not cooling that. It's pooling and it's not moving. Our kidneys, Lisa and everyone else, is the base of our fluid system. It's where our water emanates from and flows back through. So when there is freeze, when there's a constriction of our kidneys, there's a constriction of our water, and thus also of our circulatory system, our blood. So that can lead to temperature fluctuation, that can lead to temperature imbalance, that can lead to chills, that can lead to sweating and overheating. It can lead to both at the same time. I imagine we've all
Hot
had
sweat or
what did you
cold
say?
sweat. Like
Exactly.
when someone says, I have a cold sweat.
Exactly. Exactly. And in general, we're looking to have warm feet and a cool head. Just that's a generalization, but if you notice when we get sick, if we have a fever, we have a hot head and cold feet. So there's an inversion of our temperature. Because what we want to find is warm feet, warm belly, cool head, physically, but also emotionally. If blood is rising into our head, that means we are overheating. We are cooking our brain, as we say in Qigong. So, back to your question is how can you help distribute or unfreeze some of that water energy, that fluid energy in the kidneys? And exactly, you're doing it. And I would say maybe the movement is too big. Maybe bring it back a little bit and start little by little, but working from the kidneys. You can put your hands there. You can work with soft little flexions and extensions of the lumbar. You could lie on the ground and find little rolling left and right to just reconnect the kidneys to some safety, to some warmth. Because sometimes we just do too much too fast. Instead of getting the energy out, it does the opposite.
That lands.
That, okay.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah, I felt that.
Because you're touching upon something really profound in all of us, which is Sometimes we often think of movement just as like external movement, but there's so much movement to sustain our life internally. The movement of our lymph, which is also part of the fluid system, the movement of our blood, our circulatory system, the movement of our digestion, the peristalsis, the movement of our neurons. And so there's movement. It's like it's a circus in there. Like sometimes it's more organized, sometimes it's more chaotic, but there's a lot of movement happening. And so sometimes it's about reconnecting to the internal movement. And we use external movement to help recalibrate the internal movement.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Thanks for sharing that. Hold on one second. I realized I didn't have the chat. I see there's a chat. Okay, I'll come back to that chat in one second. Vanessa, nice to see you.
It's nice to see you too, Ilya. In my third go around with Smart Body, Smart Mind, and something that I have been told through, let's say, mind therapy in the past is that I have a lot of pent-up anger, and it's not something I was ever able to feel, so I just kind of disregarded it. I hope I'm not asking a question that you've already done in a movement class that I've maybe not seen yet, but I'm starting to feel it inside, like a bubbling sensation and something that wants out heat. And I'm not quite sure what to do with it because when I'm feeling it, then I'm just bracing. And I think bracing has just been my place for most of my life, that functional freeze. Are you able to offer any suggestions on a healthy way of releasing it through movement? I try to go to the gym and work out and exercise, and that just doesn't seem to be doing what I'm needing. I'm just wondering if you have any suggestions.
Thank you for sharing that. I imagine you're not the only one, so you're the voice of something, so that's important. We are a community. The SBSM
Yes. I listen
universe is a
to you.
community, and we there's a lot of commonalities. Even though we have our own unique stories, we have common sensations and common questions. So it's also perfectly after Lisa, what she shared and what we explored there is kind of the other side of that. And I don't mean a side like binary. I mean, if it's an energy ball, it's another part of that sphere. And anger, rage, that in a temperature sense is heat, as you said. You feel the heat. If we see it from a anatomy perspective, also in the Qigong and Chinese medicine that lives in our liver, that rising, surging heat, which is mobilizing our muscles for action. It's mobilizing our tendons. So our tendons are also deeply connected to our nervous system. It's mobilizing, which is a way of saying it's organizing energy to act, to take action, to do something. Now, if we repress that, if we don't let that out, that boomerangs. It comes back to us. That can lead to a lot of things. But basically, your question of like, what can you do? A, there's a lot of good work in the SBSM course around healthy aggression. And so that's one thing. In terms of the gym, anything that can discharge that energy through the fingers and the toes is great. Meaning, if you have a punching bag at the gym, something to punch, to kick, and the reason is not the act of doing it, doesn't have to have a story connected with it. It's not about the violence of punching or kicking. It's about sending that heat through the distal part of the body. Distal meaning out, proximal meaning close. Jumping could be that. Making yourself really big. I mean, you can just do that. But something that allows that heat, that built up heat, which is also blood, to move out. I don't know why the image of like chopping wood came, but that's a very tended energy where the energy is flowing out and down, throwing a ball. I don't know if you have a dog, but I mean,
You
something like that,
yeah,
like really
okay.
throwing it. Something that supports the sympathetic release of that energy, specifically related to the temperature, so that the
Thank you so
temperature
much.
doesn't build and
Okay.
especially doesn't go up. That's a big deal. It goes out.
Out. Thank you so much.
Yeah. You're welcome. Kirsten, am I saying that right? Okay, and then I'll check in the chat in a second. Take this hand. And sorry, one second. I hope this is as everyone else working along with, you know, it's finding your own way to take in this information. If it doesn't feel like it applies to you, that's also fine. Just being here is a big deal, and take the information as it lands, and whatever stays, stays, whenever it doesn't, doesn't. But I think that's important as we what we consume, and trust in ourselves that what we need to take, we will. Yes, Krista.
Yes. Well, it's nice that you say that. I feel very activated and anxious at the moment. That's also why I raised my hand. Because when we started this and I realized we could actually be on screen and talk to you and each other, I felt really connected, but I'm afraid of that. So it feels scary to really let sink in that there is a connection right now. And it makes me very emotional.
Okay, just keep taking your time.
I feel like with the movement lessons, but also in the whole program that you contain, I'm not sure if I'm getting the right words out now. But in my home, with some of the exercises, also the movement, I can feel sort of in contact with myself and be okay with that and what comes up. And then I go outside and there's a bracing immediately. Like if I want to be like moving, like you said, with fun or yeah, just moving amongst other people, it's not free. And to be honest, I'm not sure what I'm trying to accomplish here.
That's okay. You're sharing something. That's an accomplishment in itself.
Yeah.
What I hear you speaking to is that there's a certain amount of ease or freedom or capacity when you are alone, or at least in the containment of your space, but that when you go out and you're around other people, you're in another environment that is more chaotic or dynamic or has more relational elements to it, you feel bracing, you feel the a certain constriction or restriction that you didn't feel when you were alone. Did I catch you? Is that
Yeah,
what you're
that's
articulating?
correct.
Okay. First of all, thank you for sharing that. That's an accomplishment and a practice in itself.
Thank
Is
you.
to I really mean that in there's a relational context right here, and the ability to soften the throat and take your time and breathe and communicate that is exactly that's a movement practice too. The voice is another limb. The voice is another limb. We were just talking about limbs with Vanessa. The hands, the feet, the head, the tail. The voice is another way that we relate to the world. We go out and then we take back in through our ears. So that's one way you're already practicing. There's a lot of movement to create sounds and to share that. Another thing I'll say is it's really hard. I join you with grace and compassion that bracing is a very common thing because it's really hard to be around other people in a lot of contexts that we are in. And so the work we do in SBSM is about working in ways that we can create an environment that feels safe enough to work with this stuff. And that little by little, that can translate into other situations and environments. But sometimes it just takes time. It takes time and takes practice. It takes more time and more practice. And it's always more time than we want. It's always more practice than we wish. And it's a step forward and then a step sideways and then two steps back and then three steps forward and like four steps to the left. So it's not linear. But what I invite you, Kirsten, and what I will support you with also is some grace and some compassion for yourself that you're doing this work. You're doing it. You're showing up here. You're sharing it. That's also a lot because one thing is to feel the bracing, another thing is to feel the bracing and then feel shame about the bracing or feel frustration around the bracing. Or feel, et cetera, the thing on top of the thing.
Yeah, I recognize that.
Yes. So
Even
one.
right now, I'm the whole time you were talking, I can hear you and I'm constantly processing. I'm in contact. I'm in contact. What's happening? So to let that in, I'm not sure. I'm not doing it on purpose, but it's hard to let that in, that there is contact, because I'm afraid what comes up even more, or what comes out.
And then in that context, it's again a way to A, just recognize that there's this noise or this chatter or this, and it's like A, to just recognize that, and then B, using like an orienting practice, being like, okay, can you also feel your feet? Can you wiggle your toes?
Yeah,
There you
and
go. Exactly. These
I have my
tools that
thing
we can
here.
apply. Can we shift? Sometimes our gaze can get really narrow, which is another way of saying bracing. There's a restriction. So we see something far, then we see something close, and then we come back. So it's a way to soften the moment. And that's true for, you're out at the grocery store too. Okay, you feel that start to rise. You feel the bracing. You feel the tension. You feel the resistance to self, the resistance to the moment, or the gripping, or the grasping, or the attachment to whatever that is. Looking at the bag of chips in the aisle, and then looking at the other side of the aisle, and then looking at the light. It might be a horrible fluorescent light in the grocery store, but you're still looking at it. And you look at the ground. And then maybe you do a little French press breath. And maybe if doing it big is too much, you just do a little version. Give your toes a little wiggle. These are just ways, day to day, moment by moment, that we can apply this work. So it doesn't just exist when you open up the SBSM course or the website or you do a movement session or you do one of the labs. It's how we invite this work into our day-to-day.
Yeah, I'm building trust that it's not blowing up when I'm, feeling the bracing and letting it go a bit.
And sometimes things will blow up.
Yeah.
And that's, also that. And then being gentle to take the word, was it Nila? Maybe Adam. Maybe Nila said gentle. Maybe it was Nancy. Anyway, like being gentle, can we fold that gentleness back to ourselves? We often talk about boomerang, or I use that word as a way to like we send some energy that needs to go out, we send it back in a negative way, but it could also would do it in a positive way. Like how we would be gentle with a cat or a friend, maybe. Can we do that to ourselves? Maybe it's like a positive boomerang.
Yeah, thank you so much for now, because at the moment I feel connected somehow. I can see you in real time. That's how I would describe it.
Cool. I see
So,
you.
yeah. Maybe it's good for now.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
Yes, that's a lot. Thank you for
Thank you.
sharing that. Give me just 1 second to check the chat. I have a new mouse. I get to learn all these things in real time. This is good. Any suggestions, Kamal? Any suggestions for making it to give space and time for the movement lessons? Thank you, Mara and Susan, for your help in all of this too. Oh, I see. How do you deal with resistance? Procrastination, yes, that's a popular one. Anything that brings energy overstimulates. I see that. In-person workshops in Vancouver. Maybe one day, Ontario. Okay. I'm just culling them in my head and my heart. So, resistance and procrastination, as some of you might know, is a nervous system expression of some survival stress. Procrastination sits inside the gamut of work we do in SPSM. It's something in another way, if you want to see it as flight energy or avoidance, or which is resistance is on the other side of attachment or grasping. So it's something in the tone. Come back to that word, the tone. Another way of seeing that is like over, under, somewhere in the middle. So how do we play with the tone? The resistance to doing something, doing it and having it be too much in relation to the movement exercises and the movement lessons. They're around 20, 25 minutes long. But if that feels like a lot to you, think of them as 4 or 5 minute lessons, or 10 2 minute lessons, or 8 2.5 minute lessons. I was challenging my math. Meaning break it down. Deconstruct the thing as this whole thing into some parts. In the same way we started with Nancy as seeing integration, just in the context of our forearm, seeing one of those lessons as a book with different chapters. You don't have to go start to finish. A fancy word would also be titrating, meaning do a little bit. And you don't have to do them in order. They are designed to support the sequencing of SPSM. So there is a relation to the movements in the lessons and the development of the course. But if something calls to you, go with that. And if you notice that it's not calling to you, that's also okay. It's there. It will be there. I think sometimes there's a balance between can we recognize that we don't want to do something or we have a resistance to doing something? Can we just try one step? Meaning, can we just open the lesson? Maybe we don't even do it. We just open it and put it on the screen. Maybe we just press play and we leave the room. We go do something else. We come back. Little ways that we can dip our toes in, try a little bite, the videos and the work is meant to be accessible. It's available and accessible. So that would be something. Another way is to just play it and listen to it. So practicing different sensations, meaning maybe you don't have to watch it. Maybe watching it is too much. So play it and listen. Or maybe put it on mute and just watch it and do it. Maybe take it outside. Maybe it's the context can help. Maybe, etc. So that's one, and been doing this for many rounds. So there's a common theme to some of this. I love, yes, thank you, Mara. Listen to the dance, watch the dance, join the dance. Beautiful. Way to play with different sensations, different ways of taking in information. I think in the example with Nancy is like, instead of using the whole body, what if you just make it a small thing? So the global breathing, for example, it doesn't have to be everything. What if it's just your hand opening and closing as a breath? So changing the scale. So it's a little smaller. I hope I addressed that. I think there's a lot. Also, it's important to remind there's a lot in SBSM. It is a rich, rich soup. There's a lot there. And I think you can't take it all in the first time. It's designed to come back again and again and again. That's the purpose of it. And to enter, so I like to use this metaphor. It's not really a metaphor, but you can put your hand up too if it helps you. I like to think of SBSM like this. And we can enter through any doorway. We can enter the hand at the tip of the pinky, and then we can do a lesson or do a lab, and then we can exit. And then we enter again through a different part. And we experience something, and we exit through a different part. And we come back in a different place, and we play around, and we exit in a different place. Meaning taking the linearity out of it, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And we can always come back to a different place. If you're in lab 4, there's no reason you can't come back and go, what's lab 1 feel like now? You're in lab 2, it's like, oh, what's lab 3? Back to lab 1. I know in our education conditioning, we get caught in this linear idea of how things need to happen. And I say this to remind you and give you permission that your experience in SPSM can be however you want it to be, including the movement lessons. So I want to support your freedom to take that word that Vanessa shared, Neela shared. Okay, let me look. Irene's much better at reading and talking at the same time. That's challenging. The movement idea, how to feel, it's okay to have setbacks. Yes. In general, I'd say this in general, any movement that can bring some ease and gentleness to the body is a supportive movement. That's a general statement, but it's pretty true. Meaning anything we can do with a little more relaxation is going to be good for our body. When we go for a walk, can we walk with a little more ease, a little more relaxation as we walk? If we're cooking food, can we do it with a little more ease? If we're getting out of bed, it doesn't matter the form. And this is stuff I've been reading some ancient texts, Buddhist texts, Hindu texts, Taoist texts, and they're all saying the same thing. I was talking with a yoga friend about this. It's like people have been doing this stuff for 10,000 years. The same stuff that we're doing is how to be a little more at ease in our own skin and around other people. This is like for me the human challenge. And so people have been investigating this and playing with tools and practices. How can it be a little easier to be with me and for me to be with you and for you to be with you and you to be with me? No matter what we do, can we find a little more ease? And it's interesting because the opposite of ease is dis-ease. It's not ease. So that's a way to say all the movement lessons, they are all going towards that same goal. How can we bring a little more sense of release and relaxation to the body? Even if we're doing something that's very sympathetically active, even if we're throwing a ball for the dog or hiking up a mountain, can we hike with a little more ease? Can we rest with a full surrender and a shavasana and ease? So it doesn't matter the state, it doesn't matter the activity level, the inner sensation. Can we eat and chew and swallow with ease? Can we talk and listen in that same way? That's been really illuminating for me. Really illuminating is remembering like, oh, this it's all the same stuff. It's all for the same purpose. Let me just catch here. Also, if you have something that you want to share, you can put your hand up. I love that I have full faith in Mara and Susan, so thank you. I know nothing's fallen through the cracks. Anyway, if it does, that's okay too. Live session. Okay. This is good. Thank you for sharing also ideas. It's always appreciated. This is a living, breathing course. So I always appreciate hearing ideas and feedback. Okay. Eliana, am I saying that correctly? Eliana.
Yeah, you are, Eliana.
Eliana. Cool. Oh, it's like my name, but with it, two N's and an A.
Yeah,
Cool.
we
I
have a
got it.
really similar name.
I got it. I just put that together. Sweet.
Yeah,
Okay.
cool. So I love this work so much, and I love what even just what you said about creating more ease. And it's easier, a lot easier for me to practice this when I'm alone, but I have a lot of young children at home. And so when they come home, and they're also very loud. They're particularly loud humans. And I'm like my nervous system, it just kind of like explodes the minute they're all home. Even as I'm talking about it, I feel it in my body. And I'm just wondering if you have any strategies, or if you've worked with parents before who have this conundrum of how to create more ease in those moments. Because I know, I mean, we talk so much about parenting in this course, and I want to be a more regulating nervous system, like transfer more regulated nervous system to them. But when they're home, I feel like my nervous system is so dysregulated. So yeah, I guess just like maintaining that ease while they're around.
Yeah, it's a beautiful question. I do not yet have kids, but I spend a lot of time around friends' kids, my nephews. I teach kids. And I can join you. Like sometimes it's just like, oh my gosh. It's like it's overwhelming. And it's a mirror for me to recognize those days when I have more or less capacity. And the first thing is just recognizing that. Being like, oh, this chaos. I can swim in that a little bit. Or, well, this chaos is shortening my breath, tightening my spine, creating some either fight energy or flight energy or both or freeze. It's like, so the first thing is just seeing them as a guru, seeing them as a mirror. Like just the first thing, just taking some of the judgment out of it. Like I should be like this, or if only they were. So that's the first thing. And then for me, what really helps, because how you show up, your energy, especially kids, they feel all of it. They reflect all of it back.
They do.
Is like my best friend in those moments is the earth. It's my best friend. It's like I'm here. Because if I'm somewhere else, if I'm thinking about what I just came from, what I need to do, if I want something to happen, if I catch myself in this trying to control the situation, that takes me out of boom. Okay. It's a way of orienting, but physically, like my feet are here. And there might be chaos happening right now. But I'm gonna work with that chaos with my feet here. Because if I'm a little off the ground, that chaos is gonna sweep me away. I like to think of it like when you're on a train or a plane and you're going really fast, but the sensation inside is you're not. So as like as a goal, an intention is like, even if there's chaos swirling around, there's a lot of noise, you said, and that's a yes, the tone, the pitch maybe is like, whoa, that's strong. The goal, like an intention for me, is can I allow that chaos to be there? There's a picture of the universe on this screen over here. It's great. It's like the Hubble telescope picture. So I'm looking at the universe. Internally, can I slow down? Even if we're flying through space at 200 kilometers an hour, I'm sitting in my chair in the train, relaxed. I'm saying that's the ideal. It's the ideal.
I
But
love
that.
that analogy so much. That resonates with me so much. And the thing that really resonates with me is what you're saying about being up here versus being on the ground. I so sometimes kind of like dissociate in the moment and I kind of lose touch with what's happening. And then I do get swept over. So
Yes.
I really
Yes.
resonate with that experience.
And sometimes we just get swept over. And again, come back to that. Sometimes it's just too much, you know? Like, I don't know if anyone here swims in the ocean, or that's a big challenge for me. I do. So it takes a lot of work to be in the waves in the ocean. It can be triggering for me. And I realize when I try to fight that wave, it's not good. I can't. Can I surrender into that wave? The wave is stronger than I am. So in the same way, if you think of your kids like that wave a little bit, and sometimes you can surf it, sometimes it's just a lot. And so building your capacity outside of those moments, which is part of the whole point of this course and a lot of the practices, is like slowly building that resilience, building that capacity, so that more often than not, you can show up with more ease, and you can take more of that chaos in, and it doesn't sweep you off. So that's the work behind the scenes, you know. That's what happens before that moment is there. And then when that moment is there, is doing your best. I think that's a big deal, is you're doing your best and having come back to that grace and that compassion, that sometimes your best is your best. And sometimes life's a lot. There's also an element, if you can catch it sometimes, where it's like smiling into the absurd and smiling into the crazy. It should be like, wow. And even say like, this is really fucking crazy right now. And just naming it, stating it. So you're not holding it. You're not trying to, it's like, wow, this is just, wow, this is a lot. This is crazy. This is way too much. Sometimes voicing it and giving words to it helps me. So it's not some like secret I'm trying to fix. To naming it, saying it as the truth. Don't know, I went a lot of places there, but
I love
I hope
that.
some of it was helpful.
I found the through line in everything you were saying. I think just the non-judgment, the non-self-judgment, and it could allow me also to ground more in that moment versus getting floaty, because I think you started off with that. And also laughing about it. Like I totally relate to that being like a healing medicine in the moment.
Yeah. So thank you.
All right, thanks for sharing that question. It's again, I think people have been working with that for thousands of years.
I know I'm not the first.
Yes. And I believe in 1,000 years in the future, people are going to look back and like, wow, those people doing SBSM, they were really advancing this work, you know? Like, we're part of a lineage. I believe in that deeply. We're part of a lineage. We're part of an evolution. And we're a small but necessary part of that.
Yeah.
So this work, it extends much beyond this. I have deep faith in that. Any other things I'm missing here? Get a little time check. Okay. Thank you, Mara. Okay. Dizziness. Yeah, dizziness. This is a common one and an important one. There can be many reasons or triggers for it. One simple but profound way to approach it is that there's a gap between our connection to the earth and our connection to the space around us. So just as like a general perspective of what's happening is there's a disintegration of the way we're taking in the world in a visual field and how we're connected to the ground. There's something that's not being grounded. There's a gap there, which throws off our balance. Or if we think about it from locomotion perspective, our walking, our gait, we can't do that if we're dizzy. We literally are incapable of doing that because there's something that's not connected and integrated and flowing from how we, the inner ear, the eyes, the gyroscope, and the earth. So the first thing, is to pause. So first, like the acute experience of dizziness is like anything we can do to slow down the experience that we're having of the world. Pause. And if you can get closer to the earth, that can help. If you can just send your energy and awareness down towards that place of support. If you need to use literal support, that's also like that's what your body's asking for, is I need build relationship to the space and to the ground. Now, how to support our body so that we are not as dizzy as often is working with that connection, and a lot of the movement lessons have this built into it. But you can even do it in this little practice here. It's like if you take in the light, you take in the visual field, and you send it down. So it's a way to integrate what we are seeing, the way we're orienting through our sensory organs, and how we can bring that down to this place of support. Take it in. Take it down. Take it in. Take it down. And if we take it in, so this is an important element of our anatomy, our eyes, the end of our eyes is the top of our spine. The end of our eyes is the top of our spine. Or the end of the spine are the eyes, whatever way you want to see it. Our occipital lobe, occiput, is our fancy Latin words for eyes, lobe, area back here, Our optical nerve goes all the way back here, and the light goes all the way to the back of our head, which is the top of our spine. Our cervical two, our cervical one, and then our head. So when we take that in, what we're really doing is we're connecting to our skeletal muscular support. We're connecting to our support system that goes all the way down through our feet to the earth. When we're in a moment of calm and we're not acutely dizzy, one way to work on this and build capacity is to gently play with what it's like to use our first cervical, our C1, which is also called our atlas from Greek. And that's what helps us say yes. It's this gentle movement. And when we can do that, we shift our vertical field. But we shift it in relation to our eyes and our spine working together. And the one next is the C2, which is our axis, and that's what helps us say no. And it's how we orient left and right. And when we play with these together, I invite you to do this, either now or at a later date. When we play with the one and the two together, we play with this little internal gyroscope. The yes and the no, and all the little movements in between that is working on our inner ear, our balance, our fluid system that keeps us oriented to gravity. And if we can do that in relation to our spine and to our breath and to our hips, to our feet. We can start at C1 and work all the way down to our feet. It's a way to build this integrated vertical system that can help with dizziness. So it's another way of saying if you get dizzy, if that's something that you're working on, it's a doorway into integration. If you invite your dizziness in for tea and go, okay, dizziness, what's happening here? What's happening is an opportunity to reconnect through our sensory organs, through our balance, through our skeletal muscular system, this connection between the earth and the space around us. Does that resonate? A little bit? A lot of bit? I think sometimes we think of something as like, here's a problem, how do I solve it? It can be very one-to-one. And what I like to do is approach it as, what can we play with? What can we investigate through what we're experiencing? If we're experiencing dizziness, if we go behind and under that, what's happening is just we need to reconnect our body in the space. How do we do that? We use our eyes. Where do our eyes end? In our spine. What's our spine? It's connected to our neck. How does that work? Like this. Where is that connected to? Our breath, our hips, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So again, we can come to any place and leave at any place. Thank you, Susan. It is 15 past the hour. I would say if there's one burning question, something that feels very important, I invite you to share it. The anger one that you asked above. Okay, I didn't see this. Let me see if I can. Or lid. Okay, let me see if I can catch. Do you want to reshare it in the chat or ask it? That would be helpful for me. I don't think I'm finding it.
It doesn't let me reshare. May I speak to you instead?
Please, that would be lovely.
You. Hi.
Hello.
Sorry. Very nice meeting you. So my question is, you spoke about anger earlier, right? And I actually go to the gym quite a lot. Well, frequently. And I do weightlifting, and I have a lot of anger since beginning of the year due to some experimental therapies that I did. And it affects my TMJ, I think it's called. And
Jet, yeah.
yeah, TMJ. So it makes me, I wake up and I have all this rage. And so I go to the gym and I'm able to, with the weightlifting, to release some of it. And I presume for me that's maintenance, right? But the way that you said it, that it needs to go out, the energy through the hands or the feet, it just makes me think if I'm kind of self-sabotaging. And that was just a question I had. Yeah.
Okay, I want to make sure I understand it. Well, if you're self-sabotaging by
Doing the weightlifting
doing the weight,
because it's moving up the energy, right? Rather than out and down. So.
oh, okay. No, but from where I sit, as you share that,
Yeah.
no, not at all. I think that's that the act of moving energy through space, in weightlifting is profoundly helpful. I would say, and I appreciate you mentioning this because I didn't share it in this context, but coming back to this approach that the voice is another limb, sending the energy out through the hands and the feet and the voice. I'm not going to scream into the camera right now, but releasing that energy. You mentioned it gets stored in the jaw, it gets stuck in the jaw. That's a re repressed and oppressed anger response. There's a rage, there's an anger that gets stuck there. There's a lot of practices in SPSM around that, so you can review that. But I would say in relation to your weightlifting, if you find yourself clenching or holding your breath, is use the weightlifting as an opportunity to practice moving that weight also with the help of your voice
Thank you. Yeah.
and your throat. This is called in Taoist practice, this is called your celestial chimney.
Okay.
I think such a beautiful term. It's not just your feet. It's your celestial chimney. And we think, what's a chimney? It's where heat and fire and smoke go. And if we clench that, if you close the chimney, what's going to happen?
Well, it explodes
Bad
eventually,
stuff, yes.
or
That the flu is the word in English, I think FLUE. I don't know the derivation of that, sounds French maybe, but anyway, the flue needs to be open so that the heat can go out. If we close that, either here or here, the heat doesn't get released and it just gets trapped and builds up. It gets suppressed and repressed and oppressed. And
Got
eventually depressed, you know. So
it.
the release of that, opening that flue, opening that chimney in the form of growling, in the form of voo, in the form of, there's different tools you can use in the SPSM course. In the weightlifting context, a full exhale, a full sigh. It's not just about the helping of the oxygen in your blood, which it also does. Or letting go of the metabolic waste through the exhale, but it's about the expression. It's whatever the opposite of self-sabotage is, I guess that's like self-empowerment or self-love, or like that is an expression of that. So I would invite you at the gym next time you're there is play with that. Play with how the weightlifting can also be a way to include your voice. To open the throat, to soften the jaw. And I think you'll find that you can lift either more weight or the same weight with more ease.
Okay, that's interesting.
In addition to just feeling better in the jaw.
Yeah.
But
Thank you so much for explaining that.
you're welcome. You're welcome. Okay, I think that's a good place. I think, unless someone's desperately asking, I think that's a good place. We can leave it there. We covered a lot. Yes. SG.
Hello, Aaliyah. I'm
Hello.
Serena.
Hello, Serena.
I just want to say how I've only been through your first movement lesson, but I've watched it so many times. I sort of run it in my head, and I like to do that. And I just want to say this opportunity as a living, real session. I mean, the others are as well. The Q&As and the training calls, nothing against them at all. But I just think this is such complex work, and we're here because haven't been able to find a way out. Basically, I wouldn't be doing this work if I could possibly avoid it, to be honest. But needing to do it, and I'm noticing that this is this conversation, this being witness to the sub conversations taking place, to be really, really powerfully helpful in staying present and not flying away, which is my superpower. I just wonder if SBSM, Irene, the community would like to consider whether, at least for the first half of SBSM, I remember my first time, and within the first week, I wasn't even able to follow the basic new student guidelines. Nothing against it. Everything's perfectly given, brilliantly given. Just that I wasn't able to read, make sense, follow. I couldn't be in my prefrontal cortex. I wonder, it's looking to me like there are others here as well that are experiencing. And I just think that if there was a little bit more of this, I think it would enable less flying off, because you don't even know where to seek assistance. And if it's pre-verbal trauma, then you may not even have language at your it's not available. I've never been able to ask a question because it's only if someone speaks a question I can say yes or this, yes. It's kind of like working with a very small, non-verbal little child who hasn't reached the point of being able to communicate with language. And as I say, I've been here 4 or 5 cycles. And this is the first time I'm attending live your session here, and I'm just extremely thankful and really appreciative. And I wonder if what I'm saying might actually help many others who've been on the rounds, loads. And it's not to say that there may be work from later labs that I'm already sort of doing intuitively without giving it form and words and language and so on, but it's hellish doing this work, and it would be so nice if this kind of simpler connection was also possible. Thank you. Much gratitude to Irene, Seth, the team. Thank you, my loving gratitude. Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for sharing your truth,
I
for
didn't know where to
sharing
put it because I
that.
couldn't speak, and it's only in this fumbly way that I'm sort of trying to express, because it's such a chic and brilliant system. It's like I can sit in a plane and it'll fly me, but if you ask me, what's the technology that makes the plane fly, I'm lost. And it's kind of, I sort of get a sense of this wonderful program, that has come into form and fruition. But you've got to have some strong anchorings in order to stay with. And if there's too much trauma, then basically you just haven't got the pathways to stick around. So you're in a blur, in a non-alcoholic but drunken blur.
So what I hear you saying, and it's important, is that the ability to connect in real time is beneficial. And I think you are the voice of something that other people share, and that's a good feedback. So I hear you, and it's heard, and I appreciate it. I will share that with Irene and the team. And it's why we did this. And I thank each of you for being here and showing up for this. Otherwise, it'd just be me in a room alone talking about myself, which could be its own fun thing. But so it takes a community that this engagement is really important. So I want to thank you for taking the time out of your day. Also, people that couldn't be here get a chance to see this. So we're contributing something that the community can use. And it's true that, we started off with Nancy mentioning about relationship, and to be in relation is how we're often hurt and how we also heal. So this is a little microcosm of how we do this. So thank you all to being here, to showing up. Thank you, Mara, for all of your help, the support. Thank you, Susan, the whole Lion team. Thank you, Irene, for having this idea to make SBSM and the commitment and the consistency it takes to keep doing it. That is the hardest thing, I think, is consistency. Do something well, to do something creative, yes, but to keep doing it, that's why they get the third Michelin star, is the consistency. So in honor of that, those of
Will
you
you
that
do
have
it
come.
again next week, Aaliyah?
Sorry, what?
Will you do it again next week?
It's not going to happen again next week, but I hear your feedback, and I will share that with the team as maybe something we can do more than once. So I hear you. I
I
hear you.
didn't mean in place of Seth's Q&A. They are absolutely superb. Just st choose another day, please.
Okay, got you.
Sorry. Thank you.
Have a lovely rest of your Friday. Happy birthday to Irene. Happy birthday to anyone else who has a birthday around here. All of the Scorpios, congratulations. And yeah, I will continue to be active on the question board. So if you have stuff, please share. It doesn't have to be a question, just sharing your experience is lovely for other people to read, and it's helpful for you to practice communicating. Communication's hard. Takes practice. And yeah, from my heart to all of you, a lot of love. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank
Thank
you.
you.
Thank you. Take care,
Thank
everybody.
you. Thank you so
Yeah.
much.